Let's turn in our Bibles to first to Hebrews, the 11th chapter. And I did not plan this on the day of Father's Day. It's just kind of ironic to me that how the Holy Spirit sometimes directs us to a place that deals with something that is on everyone's mind. And the title of the message is One Father's Faith. And I certainly think it goes right along with us honoring our fathers. And if you've still got your father here on earth, then make sure that you reach out to them and tell them you love them, because I certainly would love to be able to do that with my father. But as we consider this topic of one father's faith, this goes along with the introduction to Bible-based parenting that I started a few months ago. And if I'm keeping up with the messages so far, this is the eighth message. I thought I was through, but then I got stuck over in the book of Genesis in the days of before the flood and the days of Noah, and I'm still kind of stuck there. So as we consider one father's faith, I want you to read with me in Hebrews the 11th chapter, this one verse, verse 7. And I want you to notice the bookends of this verse. I had never noticed this before, and that's probably my shortcoming. Again, my mind is mush. So he says, by faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, that means respect, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness, which is by faith. You notice those bookends? So the title of the message is One Father's Faith. And as I've continued to ponder and study on the days before the flood, it's just astonishing to me to think about what Noah stood against. And how in the world could this one father, in the midst of all of this chaos and cultural decline, how could one father who led one family be able to stand against such odds? In the midst of a ruined culture, when the world was running headlong over a cliff, which is what was happening in the days of Noah, the focus was on prosperity, security, entertainment. And above all of that, one man, one father, rises above the din of the music that the children of Jubal were playing. He rises above the lure of prosperity that was going on among the family of Jabal. And he rises above the violence and the evil that was going on pursuant to the line of Tubal-Cain. You know, the children, the descendants of Cain. You know, Tubal-Cain's name literally meant an extension or the perfection of Cain. You understand why he was called Tubal-Cain? Because he was creating things and making things that people were able to kill each other with. And the giants that were in the land in those days were men who were pushing others over. They were bullies, and they were beating people up, killing people. Not just beating them up, but killing them. It was violent in those days. It was an unsafe time to live. Does any of this ring any bells? We're living in a violent age. We're living in an age where, from video games to the movies that are made, have you ever just gone back and watched what was considered to be a violent movie back in the 50s or the 60s? You know, maybe an old John Wayne shootout, and maybe it got a, you know, a higher rating than a G rating. But if you'll just compare, you know, take a movie that's was considered then a violent movie from those days and compare it to some rated R movie that's a violent movie today. There is no comparison between the two. And it's like the old saying, you know, if you throw a frog into a boiling pot, you know, he'll jump right out. But if you put a frog in just normal water and you start to boil the water, it kills the frog because he doesn't know to jump out. That's where we're living. That's what it was in the days before the flood. You know, the standard was just continuing to lower and lower. And, oh, well, we can accept that. Oh, well, we can accept that. And then when it all is said and done, you know, they're completely cooked. See? We are living in that age, brothers and sisters. I'm not saying that to scare you. I'm saying that to cause us to be aware of that's where we are. When you step back and you do the comparison of what was going on 50 years ago or 100 years ago, it is astonishing what's going on today. Astonishing. From a prosperity standpoint, from a technological standpoint, but from a morality standpoint, it is astonishing. You know the month that's going on right now, the Gay Pride Month. You know, whoever heard of something like that getting any day, much less a month? We're living in the days before the flood, just like it. And in the midst of all of this chaos, one man, one family, God perpetuates the human race against all of this filth through a family and through the faith of a father, Noah. He ought to be our hero, fathers. Now, I appreciate the prayer we heard this morning. The ultimate standard is our Father in heaven. Absolutely, we should aspire. And the Word of God gives us some great examples of earthly fathers also that we can aspire to. Noah's one of those. Abraham's another one. You know, David, not so much. Solomon, not so much. But there's some good, godly examples of fathers who walked in faith in the Word of God. And I don't think you'll find one that stands out as much as Noah in the sense of he's the only one left when it's all said and done. Now, he had some folks with him for a period of time. Methuselah was with him until the year of the flood. That's when Methuselah died. You know, his name was, when he dies, it ends, man of the missile, and it's called the flood. Lamech, who was Noah's father, who named his son Noah, which means rest. We will rest in him. Lamech died, I don't know, a few years before the flood. But he had some of his family still hanging on during those years. How in the world was he able to stand against such odds? Well, I'm going to tell you what, don't forget this. He had a godly wife. There's no doubt about that. So when you read about Noah, you know, there's an old saying, behind every great man is a greater woman. Amen, right, brothers? He had a great woman behind him, a great wife, and eventually a great mother. You know, this is not just Noah standing by himself over here. This is Noah, by faith, leading his family in the direction that God is telling him to go. And the Lord didn't just show up 120 years before the flood and say, well, okay, well, I think I'll just pick Noah and he'll come out of all this stuff he's doing over there with the descendants of Cain. No, Noah was faithful for 480 years to the truth, to the church, to the perpetuation of God's kingdom. He was faithful for 480 years. That kind of makes our 70 or 80 or 90 seem like, well, you know, if he can be faithful for 480, I can be faithful for 70, 80, 90, or 100. See? 480 years, he was faithful. Consider Noah back in Genesis, the 6th chapter. I'm going to be pulling from Hebrews 11 and Genesis 6. So if you want to keep your finger there, go back and forth. In Genesis, the 6th chapter, notice what God says in verse 8. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. These are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just man and perfect. That does not mean he didn't have sin. We know that's not the truth. It means that he was complete or that he was whole in following the Lord. You want to experience wholeness in this life? Follow the Lord. He was just and perfect in his generations and walked with God. You know, that's the same thing that was said about Enoch or Enoch, who was a great, great grandfather or whatever to Noah. It says that he walked with God. You say, well, did they have any hope in these days? Well, I'm going to tell you, it happened a few years before Noah was born. But during the days of Enoch, that's when he was translated to heaven because he was serving God so well. You know, it wasn't in the sense like he deserved to go to heaven. It wasn't that. But it was the sense that he was such a faithful individual and he was so closely communing with God. God in his wisdom and in his omniscience and his choosing ability, his authority, he said, I'm taking this guy to heaven to be with me. Now, I think it probably part of it was because the Cain descendants were trying to kill him because he was a preacher. He was telling them they were doing wrong. So there were some bright spots in the days in the descendants of Seth. But when Noah comes along, the culture is pretty much gone. It's pretty much gone. It's so wonderful to see so many of you here today. You know what it tells me? To see so many of you seeking the Lord, serving the Lord, wanting to worship the Lord, it tells me the culture is not completely gone. In the days of Noah, do you know, just pretend for a second, if I was Noah in those days and we were sitting at church and we had this big building, you know, or this big area where we worshiped, it wouldn't have been a building back in those days. But you know who Noah would be preaching to? Before his children were born, he would have been preaching to his wife, maybe Methuselah. I think Methuselah would have been there. Maybe Lamech and some of those children, that belong, brothers and sisters maybe of Noah. There was a handful there. We know his wife would have been there. See, Noah's children were not born yet when God came to him and said, build the ark. It was about 20 years before the first child was born. Now, that kind of blows our mind because, you know, Noah was 480 years old. Don't ask me about all that. We'll have to ask God when we get to heaven. But the Lord didn't give him children until he was close to 500 years old. That kind of makes you feel exhausted, doesn't it, parents and grandparents? Could you imagine? Because, you know, back in those days, the way they were, it may have been more like he was in his 50s. Okay, if you think about the scale there, you know, maybe he was in his 50s. Maybe he's in his 40s. He still has, well, there's not much strength left in 50s and 40s, is it? But there's some. So Noah didn't even have children whenever God comes to him and says, I'm going to destroy the earth by a flood. That's very important to understand. You know, you think maybe Noah was thinking, well, we're just not going to have any. We're going to be maybe the first people in the history of the world, which wasn't very long at that time. We're going to be the first people in the history of the world not have any children. And then after the Lord tells him to build an ark, and after a little bit of time goes by, about 20 years, Shem is born. And then he has Ham and he has Japheth. So it says in Genesis 6 and 1, these are the generations of Noah. He was just. He was perfect in his generations. He walked with God. He begat three sons. That was after the Lord told him about the flood. You can do the math on that and look at that yourself. The earth also was corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence. And God looked upon the earth, and behold, it was corrupt. For all flesh had corrupted his way upon the earth. And God said unto Noah, now think about the weightiness of God coming to you and saying something like this to you in person, in a vision, whatever it may be. The first thing out of God's mouth when God shows up is, the end of all flesh has come before me, before God. For the earth is filled with violence through them. You catch that? And behold, I will destroy them with the earth. Make thee an ark of gopher wood. Rooms shalt thou make in the ark, and shall pitch it within and without with pitch. Now, I can only hope that Noah, you know, Mrs. Noah, as we call her, I can only hope that Mrs. Noah was around to hear this, because, you know, you can imagine what a shock that was when he goes back and begins to tell her, hey, look, we got to build an ark. Well, what is that? You know, they don't have any boats around at this point from what we can tell. Make thee an ark, and he tells him how to fashion it. You go on down to verse 17, and behold, I, even I, do bring a flood of waters upon the earth to destroy all flesh, wherein is the breath of life from under heaven, and everything that is in the earth shall die. But with thee will I establish my covenant, and thou shalt come into the ark, thou and thy sons, who were not born yet, and thy wife and thy sons' wives with thee, who they didn't even know who that was yet. And of every living thing of all flesh, two of every sort, shalt thou bring into the ark, keep them alive with thee. Going down to verse 22. Thus did Noah. According to all that God commanded him, so did he. Now that is one of the reasons that Noah stood apart from everyone else. Thus did Noah. As a father by faith, Noah did the things that God called him to do. He walked a straight path with God. It doesn't mean he was perfect. It doesn't mean he didn't mess up. Because we all mess up. We're not perfect. But he made it his mission in life to seek God. And it says by faith. Now you remember what the definition of faith is? Over there in the book of Hebrews, 11th chapter, it says that faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So Noah had not seen the flood. Noah had not seen what was coming. Noah did not see even who his children were at the time that God came to him and told him to do this. But he made preparations as God commanded him because he... Why? It's so important to understand that with faith, okay? It's the substance of things hoped for, which you haven't seen yet. So what did he do? He relied upon the word of God. You get that? God said, the end of all flesh is come upon the earth, and they will be destroyed, build an ark. He had not seen the end of all flesh. It had not happened yet. Now put that in terms of what we see today, okay? We have not seen the end of the world yet. We do not have a visualization of that yet. But we have God's word to tell us that it's coming. See? It's not coming by water. It's coming by fire one day. And children of God won't have to be burnt up in that. As a matter of fact, the wicked won't even be burned up in that. The resurrection will occur. We'll all stand before God, and the earth is, God is through with the earth. So the Lord's not going to destroy the earth by water again. It's coming by fire the next time. You say, how in the world can we really latch onto that? Because of the resurrection. If we didn't have the resurrection, I wouldn't have anything to tell you other than just, you know, feel good type stuff. I hope you feel good. I can give you security in the fact that the resurrection proves that the resurrection is coming one day upon the earth. See? I believe that. Do you believe God's promises? Do you believe His word? I believe what God says in His word. Noah believed what God said. A flood is coming, build an ark, and you're going to bring your family into it. Now, take it away from the end of the world. Okay, that might be in your lifetime, might be in mine, it might be somewhere down the road. It's going to be somewhere down the road. It might be 1,000 years from now. But I want you to see the timely deliverance here. A flood was coming to destroy the world, destroy the people on the earth, except for Noah and his family, in a timely sense. This was not an eternal judgment, you see. It was a timely judgment. And child of God, I can tell you based upon the authority of the Word of God that a flood is coming to your family, to my family, if we do not employ the teachings of the Word of God in our life. It's coming. Amen. A flood's going to hit your house. You know, a flood will hit your house anyway. That's just the way life is. Floods are coming. The billows are going to roll. The thunder's going to crash. The lightning is going to strike. That's just the way it happens. Y'all know several weeks ago we had a lightning strike at our house, and I'm still adding up how much stuff it destroyed. We had no idea. If I had any, but there's nothing I could have done. Even if I'd had an idea a lightning strike was coming that night, what am I going to do? A lightning struck the house. You know, I didn't go and you know, solicit for the lightning to strike my house. I didn't have anything on my house that would attract it, but it struck it. Lightning's going to strike. Thunder's going to crash. The waves are going to come to your house. Prepare your ark. This is not just a message to fathers. It's a message to us all. Prepare your ark. Be prepared. In the Word of God, believe the Word of God. The flood is coming. It says, by faith, Noah, he made preparations before he was a father. He was around 480 years old. He was married at the time. He's 600 years old at the time of the flood. So after he begins to build the ark, after he begins to prepare for his family, see, that's another great lesson right there. And it's a side note, but it's not really a rabbit trail if you think about it. Men, women, boys, girls, make your preparations for your family now. Don't do things now that would be a hindrance or destruction to your family. If you're looking for a spouse, as I've said many times, be the kind of spouse that you're looking for. You want a spouse that goes to church, then go to church. You want a spouse who has a calm disposition, then be calm. You know, it's funny how, you know, things like that attract one another. You know, if you're not calm, well, you may attract somebody that's not calm. You know, if you want someone that's friendly, then be friendly yourself. If you want to find someone in this crazy world out there, live as the person that you're looking for, see? And God will take care of the rest. But if you live in the opposite way of what you're looking for, then don't be surprised that you never find that type of person, see? Noah was making preparations for his family before he even had children. Can you imagine the conversation with those boys as they began to come of age, 10, 12, 14 years old? You know, their life was spent. Their life was spent working on that ark and being mocked in the community by the sons and the descendants of Cain, and also being mocked by the descendants of Seth who had gone over to the camp or the kingdom or the city of Cain. That was not an easy thing to face. I'm telling you, fathers, mothers, it's not an easy thing to face and raise godly children, train up godly children in this wicked culture. It's not easy, but you can, and you can look to the example of Noah. He did it against all odds. You talk about giants in the earth. It says there were giants, there were bullies, there were these great figures that were so just overwhelming. The vision of the little Shemites over here, of the children that descended from Shem. Oh, wow, look at him. I want to be like him. He's such an influencer. I want to go after him. And here's old Noah over here. He's the real giant. He's a giant of faith. And by the way, what happened on the day of the flood to those giants? Was their giantness, was their ability, were their influences, were they able to save themselves in the days of the flood? No, it washed them away. So much for influence. The influence was gone just like that in a day, in a few days, as the waters rose and they continued to climb. Maybe some of you have seen those little children's books or you've seen other portraits. I'm fascinated by some of the paintings that came out of the, you know, the 1500s, 1600s, 1700s. And you'll see depictions of the flood. You know, they would paint these pictures and show these people hanging on the side of the mountains with their babies and all this type of stuff. And the flood waters rose. And off in the distance, you know, there's Noah. There's the ark. That's exactly what it was like. Those giants couldn't save themselves in the day of the flood. It says they were that way. Jesus said they were that way until the day that Noah entered the ark. And I'm sure some of them got very religious very quick, you know. Oh, I'm sorry, Lord. They start pleading the blood, you know. Oh, Lord, if you'll just spare this water and this flood, then I'll serve you and I'll live right. We all do that from time to time, don't we? If you'll get me out of this jam, Lord, then I'll do right. Well, in those days, it was too late. God gave them 120 years to get right with the Lord. And we're not talking about an eternal sense. We're talking about, from a standpoint of children of God, repenting and turning to serve God. You see, I believe there were many, many, many of God's born-again children that perished in that flood. I believe that with all of my heart. You say, well, they all went to hell. No, no, no. They perished in this life because they didn't serve God and they dropped their morality level so low that it was a shame. But if any of God's born-again children did perish in that flood, you know where they are today? They're in heaven with Him. And their lives are a disgrace on this earth for how they live. Don't let your life be a disgrace. Live in the way that Noah lived, to walk with God. Don't be carried away by the influencers. Don't be carried away by the trends and the cultural norms. Be carried away by the Lord Jesus Christ, by the Spirit of God. It says he was warned of God of things not seen as yet. He moved with fear. He moved with respect of what God told him. Do we believe what the Word of God says about these things in our culture today? That there's a flood coming. That flood can wash away your house in an instant. And we should be preparing for that flood. Warned of God of things not seen as yet, he was moved with fear. And that means to be circumspect, to be apprehensive. When God told him this, he was like, really? My goodness. Are you telling me this is a global flood that's going to wash away everything? Yes. Then he began to prepare an ark or a vessel. You say, what is that today? There's a lot of arcs today. I speak to the fathers right now and the future fathers right now. Let me tell you, in one sense, you are the ark that can direct and save and build and save your family. You are the ark. That's what, in one sense, Noah himself worked on the ark, built the ark, and he made it. His work, his effort caused his family to be delivered. And fathers, you can be the ark, the deliverance from your family. Can we say and can we agree that we're missing godly fathers in the world today? The failure of the family comes back to the fathers ultimately being held responsible for that. Now, obviously, it's always incredible to have two people in a marriage, husband and wife, mother, father, on the same page without a doubt. But God holds the fathers responsible. In another way, in a much greater way, the Lord Jesus Christ is an ark for you. In the 1 Peter, the 3rd chapter, we see that the church of God, baptism, is an ark for you. It's something that delivers you from this world. See, it delivers you from the cultural trends. If you've been baptized in the church of God, you have gotten on the ark of God. There's an old song that I just heard, a song here recently by a bluegrass group. It was called The Old Ship of Zion. And it was a reference to the church of God. If you've been baptized, you have cast your lot onto the old ship of Zion, the old church of God, and it is a deliverance for you. I ask you the question, is it delivering you? Is it? Because a lot of what you experience in this life depends on your effort in the old ark, the old ship of Zion, the old church of God. It doesn't depend on, well, Brother Tim didn't quite get it right today, or Brother Luke, you know, didn't feed me today. No, it's based on your effort, child of God. Now, there's effort that we should be putting in for sure, but you understand it's based on your effort, what you put into the church of God. It's what you do. You had to walk down and be baptized if you've been baptized. If you hadn't, you can do it here today. But you had to put the effort out to get out in the aisle and walk down and let me put you or Brother Luke put you in those waters back there. You put that effort out. How'd you have that effort? God gave you the impetus. He gave you the desire to do that, you see, and you acted on that. And when it comes to the old ship of Zion, when it comes to the ark of God in this New Testament age, you got to get on that ark, you see. It's already been built for you. The great super Noah, Jesus Christ, has built that ark. Your Father in heaven has seen to it that you have a place. You see, the church is an ark. 1 Peter 3 shows that very clearly. If you're in prison today, like the spirits were in prison, the children of God were imprisoned by their sin in the days of Noah, Come to the church of God. Devote your life to the church of God. Fathers, when it comes to your family, devote your family to the Lord Jesus Christ and to the church of God. The greatest experience that you can have in this life with the Lord Jesus Christ is found through the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's an ark. Noah began to physically build an ark. And it says he prepared an ark to the saving of his house. Are we saving our houses, fathers, mothers? Are we saving our houses? We have to build the ark. We have to follow the instructions of the Word of God in faith. It's not just mindless legalism. Well, if I do this, then I'm going to get this. Lord, I'll scratch your back. Lord, you scratch my back. That's not what it is. It says Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Grace is unmerited favor. The reason that Noah was chosen to build this ark was because of grace, you see. Now, he was serving God and he was discipling himself, but your serving and your discipling does not entitle you to anything, see? It's grace and it's mercy. It's the mercy of God that enables fathers, mothers to Bible-based teach their families. It's the grace of God that enables fathers and mothers to go into the Word of God and structure their family life in a way that makes God, that makes Jesus the priority. That's what Noah did. In the face of billions that were against him, he prepared an ark to the saving of his house by the which he condemned the world. When you do that, you know, those influencers over there that had millions of followers, lots of clicking going on following those influencers. Everybody was awed by them. Oh my goodness, look at how they dress. Look at the makeup they wear. Look at the trophies they win. You know, look at all the things they're doing over there. Look at all of that. And it says here that when you as a mother, as a father, teach your family in a way that honors God, base your life and the doings of your family around the sun, S-O-N, orbit around the Son of God. That's what God's looking at. He's not looking at the influencers, you see? It says that Noah condemned the world. But if you'd have gotten a newspaper published in those days, which they didn't have printed paper in those days, you would have never read anything about Noah except crazy old man over here continues to build an ark going on 10th year. And look at these influencers over here. Can y'all identify with that today? The influencers are out there. The media is out there. All of this peer pressure that's out there. It's not just for young people. It's for people of any age. You know, everybody's a star today. You know, you can put something on Twitter, you can put something on TikTok, you can put something on Facebook. You know, everybody's a star. And just keep on awing the eyes of people. And over here is Noah building the ark, preparing his vessel to save his house. You didn't read about him in the paper. You didn't see that guy on the internet. You didn't see his wife, except to be condemned. Except to be condemned, they talked bad about them. He condemned the world. So ask where you want to be. You know, do you want to be all that? Do you want to be the influencer? Or do you want to be over here preparing your ark to save your house? I want to be over here with Noah. Remember the book ends? It says, by faith, Noah warned. And then it says, he became the heir of righteousness by faith. You see, don't ever forget this is by faith. It takes faith to do this. When Noah comes off the ark, I'm short-circuiting a lot of this here, but we're going to wind this up. A lot happens in between Noah building the ark. 120 years goes by. He goes on the ark at 600. About a year and some days later, he comes off of the ark. The waters go down and everything's gone. You know, the animals are gone that were on the earth. The people are gone that was on the earth. And you got Noah, his sweet wife, his three sons and their wives. And they come off the ark in Genesis 8. And I want you to look at verse 20. Genesis 8 and 20, and this is where we'll close. One father's faith. One father's faith. Noah building an altar unto the Lord. You know, that's the first thing that Noah did when he came off the ark. He built an altar to the Lord. And he worshiped. That's simple, isn't it? So I just don't know if I can identify. I don't know if I can stand against the culture. I don't know if I can get in line with Noah. You're a sinner. Noah's a sinner. You can read about some of the sins of Noah. He was nowhere near sinlessly perfect at all. But you can identify with how simple that is. One of the major ways in which Noah stood against the culture, in which he stood his ground against all of the altars of men, is he built an altar to God, the first thing, to establish worship with God. And by the way, did you know that's the first time in the Bible where it says that someone actually built an altar? They could have been building them before, but we just don't read about it. But without question, Noah built an altar. Fathers, are you building your altar? Are you engaging in worship, not just on Sunday, but worship with your family, family worship at home, speaking of the Lord, interacting about the Lord, talking about Bible verses? It doesn't mean that you're doing that 24/7, but it means that's an ongoing theme that follows the family of Noah. They're in constant communication about the Lord. Here are the altars of men. We lay down our sacrifices on the altar, on the sports altar, on the recreation altar, on the work altar. That's something that can really catch a father and hang up a father. If he's making all of his sacrifices on work and he's not sacrificing before the Lord with his family and in family worship, then guess what? It's going to lean towards the culture. It's interesting that one family was spared and the earth was destroyed. But you read on down in Genesis 8 and 9. Here is God making a covenant with Noah that he would never flood the earth again. And here you have the earth spared from destruction, from future destruction. No more flood. No more destruction by flood. You have the earth spared from future destruction by the covenant of God with one family. God destroyed all of that was on the earth and delivered only Noah. But after he comes off, he makes a covenant with Noah that he'll never destroy it again with one family. Now, you're never going to be perfect. I'm never going to be perfect. But I'm going to tell you, child of God, Noah is a father to follow. To think about what he went through, to think about how he struggled, to think about how they stood. And look, this wasn't just for a 70, 80, or 90-year lifetime. This was for 600 years leading up to the flood. Noah was following God in those 480 years before he began to build the ark. He was following God. He had established a pattern for following God even before he had those children. See, that's very important. That's a great lesson for the young ladies too. You definitely want to look into the background, into the history of somebody that comes along and says, well, I want to establish a family, a marriage, you know, with you. Look into their history. Have they established a pattern of following God? That is so important. It doesn't mean somebody can repent and turn on a dime. You understand? But have they established a pattern for following God? If they have, they're kind of like Noah. To guard against these things. It just makes me tremble when I look back and I think, Lord, have I done anything? Have I helped my children? Have I been a hindrance to my children? But I will tell you this. One of the most important things for fathers to understand when it comes to training, teaching, and guiding their children is finding that level of harmony with your spouse in the house. My dad said, the best thing that I can do for my boys is to love their mother and take care of her, because Lord knows she deserves it. And I say the same thing. The best thing that I can do, set before my children, is to love their mother. And I think back, Lord, I failed so many times in that. But I want to do right. I want to do that. I hope you see how important it is to focus on worship as a father. That stands against the culture. And to interact with our children in a way that teaches them the Word of God, sets the example for the Word of God before them, and we can instruct them and have that type of influence on them. That's the way that Noah was, and we should be building our arks, fathers, mothers, grandparents, because it's just like it was in the days of Noah. And remember, God wasn't looking at what was going on in the culture other than in disgust. He was looking at what these disciples over here were doing and preparing the ark for the saving of their house.